Good evening, my fellow cryptid friends. We are your extraterrestrial hostesses, JC
and Bethany. Today we will be exploring the subject of the unexplained by examining the government's alleged involvement in Area 51 and other stories centered around the possibility of extraterrestrial life.
Involving its strange location, secrecy surrounding its very mention, and reasons as to why citizens are so quick to believe that aliens do or do not exist.
And here is JC sharing her knowledge regarding Area 51, its supposed usage, conspiracies pertaining to its existence, and her own experience driving past Area 51.
Area 51. Most of you probably recognize this name. Some of the first eerie topics that might pop into your head are paranormal, alien, and UFO conspiracy. Today, Cryptic Conversations will be taking a further look to uncover the truth about this. Located in Groom Lake, Nevada, there is a not-yet-confirmed place to exist called Area 51. The government, over the years, has denied and confirmed its existence multiple times over the past few centuries. Conspiracies point to facts that the location is holding extraterrestrials and performing experiments that they do not want the public to know about. Other conspiracies discuss that the moon landing was staged right there in Area 51. The internet and multiple websites claim its use to be CIA, US Air Force, and aerospace company. It uses staging ground for testing flights of experimental aircraft and was a base during the Cold War. The Cold War aimed to develop a spy plane that would be undetectable in the air and could be used for information gathering missions behind the Iron Curtain. This was a top secret program known as Oxcart, located in Area 51. However, the public was not aware of its existence. At the time, there was many sightings and reports that took place, from random objects that were seen in the air over to what was known as empty desert. When I went to Nevada, I was off to a place called Bonnie Springs, which represents an Old Town Nevada neighborhood. This place has also been confirmed to be haunted by ghost hunters, and many of the buildings there have been shut down. One of the theories as to why this place is haunted is because it was built on top of an old Mexican trail from the 1800s. Many deaths took place there and were experienced. While I was on my way to visit Bonnie Springs, my dad had accidentally made a wrong turn, and we were forced to take a few back roads in order to get to the road we needed to be on. We were in what seemed like the middle of nowhere of the desert when I started seeing wires that were connected from the road and seemed to run for about a mile back. Following the trace of wires, I saw a long wire fence along the entire road. Then I noticed a sign we were just about to pass. It read, "Warning, U.S. Air Force Installation." Other parts of the sign read about no photography or drones of any kind and not to go any farther in the direction of the sign. Otherwise, you would be arrested. When I was doing research and looked up Area 51 online, I went to Google Maps. The location of Area 51 on the government-controlled online map read about a place called Homey Airport, and under the name, it said permanently closed. The U.S. government has been hiding this place from us for so long. Why are they hiding a base like this from us? What is in there that they don't want the public to know about? What else could the government be hiding from us? Here is Bethany with her understanding of the government involving and examining UFOs, other supposed alien encounters, and the general public's reaction to the possibility of life beyond Earth.
When one hears the term UFO or alien, they may begin to think of the desolate American Southwest, where many small towns benefit from notorious tales of strange hovering lights in the vast night sky, one of which is a town called Roswell, New Mexico. This area is known for its UFO Museum and Research Center, opening in 1992, and the annual UFO Festival held in Roswell since 1995. You may ask, what made the city synonymous with extraterrestrials? So now I will share the story of Roswell, starting in 1947 during the midst of the flying saucer craze, in which citizens of the United States thought that any strange object in the night sky was manned by aliens from the far reaches of outer space. W.W. Brazil, or Mac, was a farmer in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. Lacking any exposure to the tales of extraterrestrials, UFOs, and other stories straight out of science fiction novels, that it intrigued the minds of the general American public. While surveying his property in June, Brazell noticed various pieces of metallic paper, like tinfoil, rubber strips, broken pieces of metal, and wood. Brazell then chose to take the foreign items to the Roswell sheriff, thinking that he could potentially offer him with an answer to what the items were and where they were from. However, he was still not greeted with answers, as the sheriff, also confused by the odd materials, decided to contact the local Roswell Army Airfield, or RAAF, who then took the items from Brazell's possession. Soon after the objects were taken by the RAAF, a press release was released to the general public stating that the remains were remnants from a flying disc or UFO that had been discovered from a local ranch, being Brazell's property. This article was then snatched up by the Roswell Daily Records, publishing a newspaper with the headline, RAF Captures Flying Saucer on Ranch in Roswell Region, on July 8th of 1947, only a month after the strange pieces of metal and wood were discovered. Almost immediately after this article was released to the public, the military hastily reacted in saying that the rubble was actually remnants of a weather balloon containing radar targets. A weather balloon is released into the atmosphere to record the information regarding pressure and temperature to aid in determining future weather patterns on the Earth's surface. Clearly a significant departure from the military's initial statement, being that parts of a flying saucer had been discovered in Roswell. Only a day later, on July 9, 1947, the local radio station, called the Roswell Morning Dispatch, chose to release the military's new claim to the public, being that the Army had debunked Roswell flying disc theory despite global excitement. Brazell was interviewed in this program, and he still seemed hesitant to accept the military's new explanation. Interest in Roswell began to waver as time went on, until 1980, when the novel The Roswell Incident was released. The book was written by Charles Berlitz and William L. Moore, and they believed that the military's claim that the wreckage had been recovered from a weather balloon was simply a cover-up to hide the greater truth from the public. They believed that the actual wreckage from Brazell's ranch had been taken from the Roswell sheriff and flown to Wright Field near Dayton, Ohio, while materials from a weather balloon had simply been acquired by the military to pose as the original objects discovered by Brazell. This novel had evoked the public's fascination with Roswell once more, opening the door for more conspiracy theories and hoaxes. For instance, in 1984, various memos had been released, claiming to be those from Majestic 12, a government program created under the Truman administration, aimed at preventing more suspicions and beliefs from leaving Roswell. These memos, along with footage from an alleged alien autopsy from the Roswell UFO wreckage, were later found to be fake. In 1994, all prior Roswell claims were debunked, as the Air Force told the public that the wreckage from Brazell's farm was actually from a U.S. spy balloon that was a part of Project Mogul. This group had worked to monitor suspected nuclear weapon tests conducted by the Soviet Union in the late 1940s. Only 3 years later, in 1997, the Roswell Report, Case Closed, was published by the military, also debunking claims that alien bodies had been discovered by people in the Southwest region. They stated that people had really mistaken parachute crash dummies, injured parachutists, and charred airplane crash bodies for extraterrestrial life forms. Despite the military's claims, many remain in support of theories regarding government cover-ups of actual alien encounters. Skeptics find that people who witness quote-unquote UFOs are likely seeing new secret forms of technology being created by the United States government or other nations, making these strange anomalies truly unidentified flying objects to the average person. Skeptics' beliefs are supported by not Project Mogul, but Project 1774, which was conducted in the 1950s to actually produce flying saucers for the United States Air Force. Prototypes were never capable of reaching the desired elevation of 10,000 feet, or even reaching correct speeds, or simply achieving a circular shape in design. The project was later canceled in 1961, but remains an example of how strange lights in the night sky could simply be new technological advances, rather than aliens. Skeptics also state that if the government did possess evidence of life beyond Earth in the far reaches of space, why wouldn't it be presented to the public? Many find that the government hides the truth about aliens to prevent national or even global panic. Such a reaction to the potential of extraterrestrials was seen in the 1930s. On October 30th, 1938, CBS chose to air a radio broadcast called War of the Worlds that was adapted from a novel by H.G. Wells that had been published in 1898, 40 years earlier. The novel was adapted by Orson Welles, who also narrated the broadcast in the Mercury Theater Group in the style of a real news broadcast. The program spoke of how incandescent gas explosions had been observed on Mars's surface, and a monstrous object had smashed into Grover's Mill, New Jersey, where aliens had been seen emerging from the wreckage. The story itself may seem outlandish to anyone, something straight out of a science fiction movie, but Wells chose to mock the format used in actual news reports. Normally scheduled, CBS programs would be interrupted by surprise news bulletins, where a winded journalist would come onto the radio describing a scene in a winded tone. This same strategy was used in the War of the Worlds production. In truth, it was simply a narrator of the program talking to a microphone. But those who tuned in late to the program on CBS missed the introduction that had emphasized that the report was fictional, and they were sent into a panic, thinking that the stories of aliens climbing out of pods and a meteorite striking the Earth's surface were actual events. Many people called local newspapers, police, and even radio stations how they should escape or prepare for gas raids. Various people had to be treated for shock and hysteria after the events had cooled down. Although it was later found that a little less than 1 million listeners thought the attacks were real, who is to say that something like this would not happen on a larger scale today if the government actually acknowledged alien life?
I noticed a reoccurring theme in our two stories about government almost feeling a need to hide things from the public. Why do you think that is?
From my research, like looking into War of the Worlds and how it was perceived by the general public, I feel as if it's to prevent a panic. They're afraid of how people react, they're worried they might lash out at the government, and everything truly might go insane. Like stores might be pillaged because people are thinking it's the end of the world. We might see that sort of chaos, and I feel like the government just wants to avoid that, so they chose to hide the truth, whether it's about aliens or spirits or anything, maybe like mythical creatures for all we know.
Do you think it's possible that in the history story of how you mentioned War of the Worlds, do you think that could have been almost a simulation from a government to see how the public might react to something like this?
You know, it could have been. I will say that I noticed through my research that they chose to do it in the style of a true radio report to attract the interest of the general public. So it'd sort of make it feel more real and they could have fun with it. But I did see that at the time, there was this thing called the Munich Crisis going on, which was essentially where the Allied powers in Europe met with the Central powers, and they were sort of talking about ways they could have peace. This did occur before World War II officially started in 1939, but they chose to copy the exact format that was used in that same presentation on CBS a month earlier to make it seem even more real to the public, which I found quite interesting. And the whole thing, War of the Worlds, a lot of people find that it was blown out of proportion because the newspaper at the time was actually suffering because a lot of people were tuning into the radio for their news instead and thought the coverage was superior. And so the newspaper did sort of blow it out of proportion, call the radio irresponsible in what they did. So, you know, the action, it does seem strange that they would try to mirror a real news report. So you never know. It could have had something to do with they wanted to shock people, or it could have potentially had to do with the government. I don't really know.
Yeah, it was very similar kind of to my story, because when I was doing research on Area 51, I found multiple reports of people around the Groom Lake, Nevada area where you would see reports of things flying in the air, and even occasionally an alien presence or something. And why would the government deny and confirm its existence like this? Like, are they hiding something bigger from us?
It is true, because when you see people and they're so quick to say, like when they look at a video or something, they're like, well, it's blurry or whatever. It's not true.
It could be fake.
Yes. You're like, well, you weren't there. So how can you really say for certain, oh, it's not true? Unless you're trying to like cover something up and you're just trying to get people's minds off that issue.
Especially with lots of video editing and today's technology, I feel like anybody could really pull off a video of an alien encounter or something. So how are we supposed to know what could potentially be true and what could be real, and what are we missing that hasn't been said to the public?
Very true. And another thing I just wanted to bring about the War of the Worlds production is that if it were created into a movie which had like special effects, people would know automatically, oh, that's fake. That's a fake alien, fake meteor, all that. But they chose to like broadcast it on a medium that doesn't involve visuals. And I feel like that saying like seeing is believing and things like that, without that, I think people might be quicker to believe things for sure. And when you look at like alien videos or Bigfoot videos that people have captured, you do see that it's always blurry and you're like, is that purposeful? You never know. And another thing I just wanted to bring about your story is that I was just wondering, like along the fences where quote unquote Area 51 was, did you see, were there any like armed people walking back and forth, like preventing people from entering in any way, or army vehicles?
With my experience, it was just a very long fence that kept running down the road for lots of miles. But when I was doing research, I did find on many occasions that if you went far enough back on this old rickety road, there was definitely armed people and military, and you definitely couldn't get beyond a certain point without being arrested.
Yeah.
Which is really strange, because it's kind of makes you wonder what they're hiding from us. I mean, we have the army and we have all the military, and that gets put on the news, and we have stories about the wars that are going on and they're put on the news, but yet this place is not confirmed to be existed by the government.
Yeah.
And even when you look it up on Google Maps, in the exact same location where Area 51 is, it's called Homi Airport, which is permanently closed. And Google Maps is run by a government. So what can we believe about this?
Exactly.
It leaves you wondering a lot of questions that are definitely unanswered. And we can't really ask the government, because how do we know what they say can be true?
Exactly. And I had realized that a couple years ago, the government had actually admitted that they have spent about $22 million on looking at the potential of UFOs. And it does make you wonder, like, they were hiding that for so long. Like, they would say, oh, we don't look into any of that or whatever. They were quick to dismiss claims. So it's like, what else? If that was kept a secret for so long, what else?
One of the things I also notice is that if you're trying to cover up something or lie about something, you tend to come to conclusions very quickly. And frequently, if you ask people about things that they're like a national company, if they're a national company and you ask them questions, they'll come back to you really slow to try to get you the correct answers. Whereas when we were asking the military about this kind of stuff in your story, where the hot air balloon was crashed, and we found that they came to conclusions very quickly, and they answered the public very quickly, which is very odd, especially for the military.
And they're very abrupt too. And
yes,
they're within a short span of each other. Like one day they were saying it's a flying saucer, and the very next day, right after it was publicized, they say, oh no, it was a weather balloon. And you're like, well, what is it? You're changing your mind. What am I supposed to believe? And I think it's like when I've lied or if I've tried to dismiss claims, you often say no, or you're very quick to just say something fast.
Yes.
And on the spot, just to get yourself out of it. So I can completely see how that would have to do with the government as well.
Thanks for tuning in once again to this ominous third episode of Cryptid Conversations.
We hope that you have enjoyed this cryptid podcast. Be sure to consider the following questions. What is the unknown, and what is truth?
Is fact fiction or falsehoods true?
Can we trust what we're taught?
Is it possible that there are no coincidences?